Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us at this beautiful day, the 1st of May of the year of our Lord 2021. And this is Usama Dakdak with you from the state of Kentucky. And I don't know what road I'm in, but here it is. It's live. And with us tonight, as usual, our producer and the co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. And hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, Usama, I'm doing wonderful. So thankful that we have another day, the beginning of May, to still have free speech and some of our constitutional rights are fully intact.
Still there.
Not all of them, but I'm thankful.
But some of the constitution is still there.
Yes, and I'm thankful for that. But I will tell you what, we are living in what could be a very stressful, difficult, scary time. But, you know, I also know that God is not surprised by any of these things, and he will guide us through the challenges of our time. But we really need to trust him.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, yes. You know what, Christy, I look at life this way. Today may be my last day to live, or actually I have a great ministry for years to come. So on one hand, I am building a new studio, as I shared this with you before. My friend Kent Marston came all the way from Minnesota to help me, and we have done lots of work so far. So I'm going to finish the studio, as I hope and I pray that we will use the building for God, for God's glory, as we do ministry from it. But at the same time, and I'm not going to go broke financially to build it, so I'm going to take my time, save every dime I can, use whatever material I can get the cheapest we can, because I don't want to go in debt in case they put me in jail or in prison tomorrow, or maybe I'll die next week. So it doesn't matter what happened is, I'm living for the Lord as once again, this is my last day, or maybe there's years to come, and I'm not going to be disappointed of what the devil is doing, because I know the end of the story. I already know the end of the story. Victory is ours, says the Lord. Amen?
Well, amen, Usama. I know that you've always been a great inspiration, standing up for the truth and standing in faith in spite of the fact that, you know, it does pose you a risk. It has posed you risks in the years previous and even now. But, you know, we have to trust God. You said something impressed my daughter, one of my daughters. I have several. One of my daughters so much, and she said, Usama said, the devil can't take 1 minute from my life that God doesn't allow. If God allows it, then I'm okay. So, you know, that is something I think we all have to remember. We are living in a time that God knows every challenge, every threat, every enemy, and his plan is for us to be victorious in spite of everything else, and we don't need
Amen.
To be fearful. You know, our job is
nope.
to be in faith, you know, to be an example of God's
yeah. the scripture,
vision.
Yeah, the scripture is very clear.
Yeah.
We should not have any fear. Fear not is written throughout the Bible. I don't know how many times. I believe once for every day. So over 300 sometime, and we have to live joyfully even when we are in trouble or crisis. I mean, it doesn't matter really. Our attitude towards tomorrow, it is our attitude towards God. And God ordered us or gave us the command in the scripture through the Apostle Paul to rejoice always, always, no matter what happens. Even if we lost that angel, as I was traveling here, coming this way to Kentucky from Missouri, with my friend Kent, and I said, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what tomorrow brings. We're going to live. We're going to live with right. We're going to live with the Lord. And my prayer is, we're not going to change the future. We have to submit to the Lord and let His will be done in our life. And we're going to rejoice. We're going to be thankful. And every day is a gift. Every breath of life we receive from the Lord is a gift. We don't own it. We don't deserve it. Can you imagine with me, Christy? If the Lord will charge us, I was talking to Kent about that yesterday. If He will charge us for every glass of water we drink, if He charges for every breath of air we take, you know, we're going to pay money like we pay electric bill and a water bill. We're going to pay oxygen bill. Every cubit of air we put in our chest, we're going to pay the Lord for it. How in the world you can have enough money to live? But his grace is amazing. His love is beyond our imagination, that God will love somebody who knows all his sins, all his wickedness, all his evil, not just the one he did, but the one he will commit. Even though while we're yet sinners, Christ loves us. Why are we worrying? Why are we get nervous? Why are we panic when things go bad? He is in charge. He is in control. And He is so powerful.
I believe that is such an important thing for us to remember. But, you know, Yusama, I also have something I would like to add to that thought.
Sure.
We're not here for no reason. If we're here, our responsibility is to serve God. And I think that's a problem. It isn't okay to see that things are bad and then say, oh, well, you know, I'll be okay, so I'll just hide out because God will take care of me. We're to be a light in the dark and the salt of
Amen.
The earth. And as long as we're here and we're alive, I believe we have a responsibility to do all we can to turn souls to Jesus so that there may be salvation spread around the world. And sometimes
yeah.
in the time of difficulty, that is when people are more open to hear the gospel, more desiring to know, how can I handle this? Because my friends that I know Jesus, they still have some, you know, trepidation. We got to be honest. Sometimes they get a little nervous about what's happening, and they have to get, you know, away and pray and ask God to help them. But they know God
mm-hmm.
will help them. The problem is, think about all those who do not know the Lord, and they're seeing some very, very frightening things happening, especially for Americans who are seeing things change in our country. You know, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to be put in a position where you're either going to join or ignore what evil's being done, or you're going to have to make a decision to be saved out of it. And, you know, that's where we try to reach those who don't understand that there is no hope without Jesus Christ. There is no hope without God's intervention. But He's always willing to turn things around if His people will repent and call on Him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. I don't like it when people say, well, why are you worrying about politics? I'm not worrying about it, but I want to point out what's going on because the Lord pointed out what's going on.
Sure.
He told us. He told us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I posted this as one of the scriptures that I wanted people to contemplate on. He told us in Matthew 24, "Take heed that no man deceive you." He was talking about the end times. He was asked, "What
yeah.
will be the signs of your return?" And that's the first thing he said. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. He goes on and says, and these are the beginnings of sorrows. There's going to be earthquakes, pestilences. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. We got to listen to the words that Jesus said so that we're not shocked when these things happen and we fight against deception, right? That's what we're trying to do here.
I'm thankful to the Lord that he allows the technology to be what it is today, that we can communicate with the rest of the believers around the world by the phone, by the internet, by the TV, by the radio, by even just simply media, emails, or text messages. Even though the liberals will try to control all that, but guess what? We're still communicating with one another. And when the scripture said, do not be deceived, it is for us to be in a full awareness that our eyes will be open, that our ears will be open, that to listen and to see what's happening and share it with others. So it is our responsibility, not only that we will not be deceived, but to build awareness among others, especially believers, that they will not also be deceived. And that is the beauty of the gift of the technology we have today, that if something bad happened in one place, we learn from it, we share it with others, that others be aware that they will not allow this to happen to them, or they'll be prepared to how to react to whatever the devil will throw in our way as we continue to live in these last horrible years or days before Christ comes back.
You know, Usama, it's amazing that you brought that up about what's happening in other places in the world, and we can know this. And here I've got an article. Hindu extremists use false documents to discredit Christianity. You realize there's a lot of persecution coming against Christians from places that we didn't used to see that. In China, they used to leave the Christians alone, and now they're persecuting them. In other places, Christians have been persecuted for centuries. But now we're seeing that in this Hindu country, they're trying to show that Christian evangelical organizations who are trying to preach the gospel, they're trying to discredit them with false reports that they're misusing money. You see, it's these allegations that are being brought against people, even people in very high places, the president of the United States, for goodness sakes. These Christians are being lied about, and it's sad because people are believing lies. Those false accusations, Usama, you've told me before that in Egypt, if a Muslim brings an accusation against a Christian, what happens? Tell us.
Well, it's very simple. One of the ways they can destroy a minister in Egypt or destroy a Christian person in Egypt is to bring a false accusation against them and take it to court and found guilty. Simply, imagine with me if you are a minister and the police come to search your home at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and behold, they find a bag of cocaine inside your house. Well, where did this bag of cocaine came from? It came with a policeman who came to search your house. And the punishment in Egypt for a pastor with cocaine in his house is 25 years in prison. So here we go. You destroy a minister's in the ministry for life. I mean, if he's 40 or 50, he will leave prison in his 70. And in Egypt, when they give you 25 years to serve in prison, it's over. It's 25 years, not 20, not 20, not 15. So you'll leave prison dead.
Wow.
Almost, you know. I remember one of my teachers, who is a great, excellent, godly man. We love him. He actually helped many Christian poor people give special classes for teaching for free, because if you're coming from a poor family, you can't afford it, he will teach you for free. Well, they brought a lady into his house. The police go inside the house to search his house while there were students sitting in on his classroom table, five students, and the police went, and here we go. A lady went with them. And that lady was a prostitute. She went with the police inside the house. Now they got enough witness that he have a prostitute in his house.
So here we go.
Go to prison. 15 years in prison. Why? Because he was a godly Christian. teacher, and so on. Any Muslim, if two people Muslims testify against you of doing anything illegal, you'll be found guilty, and the punishment, severe punishment, is going to be on you. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, literally, they kidnap our Christian ladies, they kidnap our Christian ladies, and force them into marriage with Muslim men. And if they try, if the family try to get involved, they'll say, no, you cannot do that. According to the fact of Omar, we cannot force our children, if they want to accept Islam, to leave Islam. So here she go, your own daughter is kidnapped in a Muslim house. She's been, abused by that Muslim man who claimed to be married to her. And the rumor is, very simple, she fell in love with him and she married him, even though she was kidnapped and raped. And so on with the rest of the many stories, which obviously many of them are shocking.
Yeah, you see, this is where we see how, sadly, it is so completely alien to people now. When the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, how important it is that you have a government that's founded on that principle. And even today in America, remember when they took the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom?
They ordered
American courts. They couldn't have the Ten Commandments in there. And you know what's interesting? At the time, I thought, wow, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder. What they want to take that out of the courtroom. But you know what, Usama? The worst thing about being in a courtroom is you don't want to have that thing that says thou shalt not bear false witness. Now you find people lying, testifying falsely, and this idea of cancel culture. You know, I just want to say, if you lie to keep people from canceling you, what are you accomplishing here?
I believe it's more than cancel culture. It's get rid of God, get rid of Christianity, which is also get rid of the Bible, which is also get rid of our Constitution. That is what's about.
That's right. Yes, absolutely.
And as you start the program tonight, I'm thankful that we still have some of our Constitution laws that exist in America.
You know, and you know, it's sad because some people think that for us to be proud of and thankful that we're American citizens and that the United States of America wants to put America first, people think that's horrible. But I'm going to tell you, if America doesn't stand up for the Lord and America doesn't stand up for what's right, if America doesn't stand up for godly principles, it's over for the world. The world will crash down. God put us here for that reason, to be a light.
You
we're going to lose
I
it.
I was watching news a few days ago, I believe yesterday, the day before, and the conservative speaker was saying, if this election will not be fixed, the cheating and the lying and the stealing, that will end democracy in planet Earth. Because what we see happening in America, it will be in every other country in the world. Every other country, which means the stealing, lying, cheating will be the norm. And I don't know how we're going to live in that world when that will be the norm. If America allows corruption in the election, what is left for the world? Nothing is left for the world.
You know, and I'm thankful there are a lot of people who are having courage to stand up to these and speak about the fraud, the stealing, the cheating that went on in this election. Because now, do you know that one of the conservative news stations that I really have watched and loved, Newsmax, just caved in because of a terribly huge lawsuit brought against them by Dominion, Eric Comer, or Coomer, I'm not sure how he pronounces it, but this man and this Dominion, he is a fraud because he literally is on tape, on video, educating people how to use his machines as he's a salesman of this product, of Dominion voting machine. And as he's up there,
yeah.
he literally tells them, you can adjust it to change votes. He tells
yeah.
them that. And then he sues these people for reporting what he himself has said. We did a program on that before, Usama. We talked about it months ago.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So we're still on. Thank
evil.
You, Jesus.
He is evil, and he got caught, and he's going to use his financial help, financial aid from the liberal, sick, ungodly world to sue people to shut them down. You know, I was talking to my buddy Kent here. I said, what a day will be when somebody locked me up in prison, and I was telling the judge, you know what, judge? I'm willing to die for you, and you're going to lock me up. What a stupid thing it is to see that. But, well, what a glorious day for me. I will be honored. I'll be blessed. I'll be exalted in the truth by being locked up in prison. So if these news people who pretend to be a conservative, if they're afraid of the lawsuit and they're going to shut up, they're not going to talk anymore about the fraud, then shame on them. If I am any of the members of the leaders of that organization, say, go ahead, lock me up, put me in prison, and I will be speaking the truth every day. This is the last minute where I can speak, where I have a breath of life in me. I'm going to say it again and again and again. So for them to back off shut up, that is a great evidence. They were not conservative in heart. They're just conservative in emotion. And there are plenty of people in the world, Christy, like that, especially those who claim to be Christian. And they will say the right word, and they will act it the right way until you put them in the corner. And believe it or not, that's when the real, what you're made of will show up. You put lots of material in fire. The paper will burn. The carpet will burn. The wood will burn. The plastic will melt. Some of the fabric will be crunched and damaged and cracked. But gold will come out pure. Pure.
Yes.
The more
yes.
fire you put the gold in, the more pure will come out of the fire. And that's exactly what the scripture teaches. We're made out of many vessels, and these vessels are going to be tested. There's vessels of honor, and there's vessels of dishonor. What are you made of? What are you made of?
Yeah.
Examine your heart. Examine your soul. Examine your mind. Your stand up with God. Are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to die for the conservative movement? Or you're going to crunch and fall scared and cry and hide yourself under the table? That's not what we are made of as a Christian conservative. There are plenty of Republican in name only. We call them rhinos. And those people will show what they are made of in the easiest moment when we have crisis against our Constitution or liberals take advantage of some circumstance. But the true conservative will die. I will die stand up on my feet. I will not die bound on my knees. That's not what I am made for. And I hope and I pray the Lord will give me the strength even to not only to be put in prison, but to die. And I will die in honorable way. I'll die in a way that Christ will be glorified in me, even in my death. I remember these living, godly Christian men who were killed or beheaded by ISIS, the Egyptian Christian men, which we have the pictures on our small booklet.
Yeah, it's
about
on the slideshow.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on
so
the slideshow.
These guys, we have a video made by ISIS. The last few seconds in each and every one of them. And one of them cry out, hallelujah. The other one cry out, thank you, Jesus. The other one cry out. Not one of them were scared. No one of them screamed as they beheaded them one after one. It was honorable death. It was glory night. Man, oh, man. If any of them were not a believer, I believe they all die born-again Christian believers. You know why? Because the fruit testify for what kind of tree it is. Their
yeah.
word, their action, their emotion, not one of them cried for losing his life, but they all were glorifying Jesus in their death. And I pray, and I hope, and I pray, and I hope, and I pray that will be the end of my life. Not to bend my knee to anybody, but to Christ alone, and I'll die standing on my feet.
You know, Usama, I think this is something that people who haven't lived in an oppressive nation or in the Middle East where Islam is thriving, they don't necessarily understand what all that's about. But this is the thing that I would say. We need to pray for people in the media who are in a position where they can tell the truth, but they're being pressured not to. Let's pray for them to have the courage to continue to speak the truth. You know, that tells me, and I do want to say, OAN, I'm excited. They have a new platform. It's like Twitter. It's called Free Talk 24, and you can find it through OAN's platform. That's One American News. They're continuing to fight for free speech. They're continuing to support Mike Lindell. They've showed all of his videos. And if you haven't seen yet, I've got all the names. Absolute Influence is the most recent one. You know, please check it out. OAN has shown it over the weekend. There are people who are looking for these platforms like Frank's Speech. Tell us about your experience being on Frank's Speech, because you got to be on there too, right?
Sure. Let me before I get to this, something I have a thought in my heart that I want to share with our audience. As I was sharing with my buddy Kent here, Christianity in America does not cost us anything. There's no payment you pay to be a Christian in America. But believe it or not, where I come from in the Muslim world, Christianity costs us something. To stand up for your belief for Jesus against the persecutors, the Muslims who are persecuting us day and night, and you still stand up strong in your faith, even after losing your job, or even after injustice takes place, or even after your daughter was kidnapped, or even after your son was killed. I mean, I'm talking about real stories. I lived it in my home country, Egypt. And we're still believers in Jesus Christ. That persecution, that hardship caused us as Christians in Egypt to be strong in our Christian faith. Even the Christian in name only, traditionists, believe it or not, They're more strong in their walk, in their belief, even though they do not know so much about the depth of Christianity, than majority of those who are born again Christian in America. It's like we have in America here 50 Christian men, in Egypt we have strong, godly Christian women. I mean, the women of Egypt are stronger in their faith than majority of Christian ministers.
Wow. Usama, are you still there? I know you're driving, so you might have hit a dead zone. You still there for me? Well, Usama, I'm going to take a minute. You can let me know when you get back in. I have been waiting to just get on Frank's Speech. .com and began to use that platform, and I am just so encouraging people to take advantage of some of these that we know. There's so many out there. There's Rumble, there's Gab, there's a number of them. I've tried to sign up for all of them. The problem is, folks, that you've got to learn each of these platforms. And for someone my age, it isn't that easy. However, I have a lot of young friends, fortunately. So I have already launched my Christy Johnson, which it's End Times in America, on free speech. Free Talk 24, the OAN app. I'm on also on Frank. speech.com, and both of those will run as End Times in America. While we're waiting for Usama to get back into the zone, I want to share with you that it's really important to remember that Jesus gave us a lot of warnings about the end times. The prophets gave lots of warnings about the end times. But it wasn't to frighten people. But it was to make them aware that as you see these things coming, you need to seek the Lord. It is a time to reach others for Christ. It is a time to share the good news. Hey, how much better to hear good news when you know that in the difficult times, knowing the Lord is the difference between making it, being okay, having joy, having confidence, having courage. You know, the Word of God tells us, be strong and of a good courage. It encourages us to be bold. I'm telling you, you need boldness. You need courage. And I'll be honest with you, I have to pray for courage. But I've never not had it when I needed it. I don't think we always feel so courageous. But if you stand up and you're using your voice, your life, and the opportunities to share the Lord, you know, he will give you the courage to do it. I really believe that. Those Egyptians that Yosama talked about who were beheaded by ISIS, yes, they had courage for their death. For that moment, God gave them that courage to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, even though they knew very well that their lives were going to be taken in a gruesome way. They were brave because God gave them that courage. He gave them that faith. And it's a great blessing. It's a great blessing to stand up for the Lord in a moment like that. I hope we can find more courage to be like that before we die, before we're facing that, and to fight for the truth right now, to stand up against the evil that is going on in the world. Because I'm telling you, they have all the courage. They have absolutely no fear. Have you noticed this about groups like Antifa? Have you noticed this about Black Lives Matter? Have you noticed this about the Democrats who are literally violating our Constitution? They seem to have all the courage. They don't seem to have any problem doing whatever it is that they think they need to do. I know that Yosama is driving, and because of that, I'm not sure when he'll get back, but I don't want to delay the discussion that I had about the Antifa group. So I think I'm going to go ahead and play for you an audio clip. This is a video that's online. It is actually a news report, and I'm hoping that the recording is clear enough that you'll be able to hear it. So let me play this, and I wanted to talk about it also with Yosama, but he basically knows a little bit about Antifa, and I will discuss the article that was written about them. This is the news reporter who is talking about an interview he did with an infiltrator who infiltrated into an Antifa group. I think he said the reason is because everybody was saying Antifa was just an idea. You know, all that baloney we got from our political powerhouse of liberals in Congress. Yeah, Antifa is just an idea. And no one's doing anything about it, saying that the greatest threat to America is the evangelical Christians. Literally, they are saying that. But I want you to listen to this interview. We'll talk about it. It's about 5 minutes long. Here we go.
Is getting possible new insight into that attack and other recent acts of vandalism from a Sonoma County business owner and Trump supporter who infiltrated a group of anti-fascist activists.
Sure, I read their manifesto and I could tell that they were a threat to the community and somebody needed to do something about this.
The manifesto posted online for SoCo, Sonoma County, Radical Action, or SRA, says, do not hesitate, do not wait. The brick in the street is meant to be thrown. The paint in the can is meant to be sprayed. The cop in your head is meant to be killed. The Trump supporter is able to join the group that communicates through the encrypted messaging app Wicker.
And you express that you're of a like opinion.
Yeah, it's, you said comrade, you know, I want to smash the system the same as you. You know, make them not feel alone, because that's what they really want to hear, is know that there's more people like them.
He saved messages, documents, and recordings of their meetings. The I-team has learned the group's leader, who goes by the screen name Marb, is a 25-year-old college student who was arrested for felony assault on a police officer last year at this Oakland riot after the death of George Floyd. The district attorney declined to file charges. The Trump supporter says he made this recording in March when Marb discussed naming the group SoCo Antifa.
It was originally SoCo Antifa, and people didn't like that. People didn't like that we called ourselves Antifa.
Well, more than that, they were like, we're going to go on the FBI watch list.
Yeah.
They apparently have an eye out for that.
Marb also talked about that same hand statue being vandalized on other occasions.
Did someone use Benful, you know?
No, freehand.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it was actually a lot easier for this situation.
So this is the list.
The infiltrator tells me he copied what the group calls its target list, people they want to dox, to publish their private information, their addresses and phone numbers, to surveil them for possible vandalism. After his testimony, they placed Barry Broad at the top of the list, and within an hour of the attack on his former house, Marb is back on Wicker at 3:48 a.m. telling the group, hey, y'all, late notice, but some comrades took action at a house owned by Barry Broad, and if someone could swing by in the morning and get pictures, our comrades would be very grateful. The target list also includes the head of the Deputy Sheriff's Union, what they call killer deputies, officers involved in fatal confrontations, and Trump supporters, including Sandy Metzger.
And I really came out strongly against Antifa and BLM.
Metzger heads the Santa Rosa Republican Women Federated, and I broke the news that her name appears on the group's target list. It's an obvious question, but does that concern you?
It does concern me a little bit, but that's not going to stop me from speaking out. Somebody has to speak out.
The recordings show the group has already checked out Metzger's house.
We went to Sandy Metzger's house.
Yeah, we have went to Sandy Metzger's house, but it was too late at night to do any real observing.
We just wanted to see where it was.
The place is huge.
On that same recording, Marb appears to discuss plans for this Saturday, May 1st.
I think it'd be sick to organize something a little more extreme for National Workers Day.
It's difficult to tell if this next clip is a twisted joke or a serious proposal.
May Day, baby. Like, come out and take something over with us. I don't know. But
let's kill people.
Let's kill people. Let's kill some cops. Like,
the infiltrator has been in touch with both the Sheriff's Department and Santa Rosa Police about the potential threat.
I don't know of any specific threats, to my knowledge, that have been made. But obviously, if threats are made, then we're going to take those very seriously, and we're going to look into that.
Marb refused my attempts to interview him, but the infiltrator intercepted one message from the group leader about Dan Noyes at ABC 7 asking about SRA. To firmly restate our position, nobody, myself included, should cooperate with press or cops. The infiltrator tells me he's been careful about protecting his identity during interactions with SoCo Radical Action that began last year.
It felt like seeing Antifa getting sort of a pass all the time from government, saying that they don't exist, saying that they're a myth, saying that they're just an idea, you know, when obviously they are very real and they're a big threat.
Okay. Yusama is back with us, right?
Yes, ma'am, but I'm not sure. Where did I lose you?
You lost me when you went off the phone. I don't know, Yusama.
That's funny. No, did I finish talking about my wonderful experience to be on this new network?
Not yet, but I just played the Antifa piece because you weren't there, so I want to bring you back to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you can let me wrap this part up, you know, I was talking about having courage, and the courage that we need. I'm telling you, this story and what these young people are saying, I was saying, you know, how is it that these wicked individuals with these evil plans, let's go out and kill some people. Yeah, let's go kill some cops. This is, it doesn't matter if these people are joking or serious. On their website,
there's
they
no,
have a
there's
picture.
There's no joke, Chris, that, Chrissy. There is
No, I know there. It's not. But the point I'm making is that it doesn't matter if other people think they're joking. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we hear people saying these things. Yes. It doesn't matter if they are really even serious. Maybe some of them are. Maybe some of them are not. But this is a demonic power that is coming over people. And so we need to know this. But that's why I wanted to point out the courage. These individuals seem to think they can do anything. We have a greater power with us, and that's Jesus Christ. And we ask him to give us as much boldness and more courage than these foolish people who are following, literally, Allah, who are following Satan. Anyway, Usama, I'll let you come back, and if people want to see that story, you can find it listed. It's the Antifa hit list, and local Republicans are exposed by a Trump supporter. So I hope you all will find that. I did post the video on my Facebook page, End Times in America. You should be able to see it there. Anyway, Usama, talk about these other avenues and our opportunity to share on these other platforms of media. And you were on Frank's Speech.
Well, it was a good experience. Once again, I was called by Brian House yesterday, and he said he was going to be interviewing Mike Linda. And he said after he finished with him, he would like to have me for whatever time I would give him. I said, sure, I'll give you whatever time you want. So I was watching live between Mike and Brandon, and Mike had to go. He actually was on the show from just leaving the airport. He was on flight from someplace to another place. I don't know where he was going to. So he was just he gave Brandon an hour. And then after he finished with Brandon, I was able to be on for 2 hours and 5 or 7 minutes, something like that. And it was a great experience. Because the fact is we have new audience, and none of the people who were there are familiar with our ministry, as we realized from their email and from the questions they were sent to Brandon, as Brandon at the same line or network. And it was a great experience, and people loved it. And I look forward to come back again, because people requested all yesterday and today. Lots of people asked Brandon to put it back on frankspeech.com, and he played it again today, these 2 hours plus. And he called me today to tell me that people love us, they want us to have us back and back. So we'll be doing a lot of shows there, Lord's willing, in the near future here. And as I said when I lost you, by a couple months from now or so, when my studio is finished, we'll be doing a live broadcast, you and myself and other guests on this new network, as I believe and I pray that the Lord will use every avenue, every door, every opportunity to speak the truth about Islam and what the Muslims are doing in America. Like you just said, here in Antifa, Black Lives and Muslims are worshiping the same God. Some of them may call themselves Christian, or may call themselves atheist, or may call themselves whatever they want to call themselves. But in reality, if you are in that network of Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and Muslims, you're worshiping the same God. His name is Satan, or Allah, or whatever you want to call him. Even those who do not believe in God, they actually believe in Satan. Because when you deny the truth, the fool says in his heart, the Bible says, there is no God. So for you to believe that you're an atheist and there is no God, Well, guess what? You're a fool, and you're following the way of destruction. There's only one way to heaven, and that one way is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without him, you and I cannot receive forgiveness for our sins, and we cannot make it to heaven. But all other roads, all other ways will lead to one place, which is called hell. You may give it all the different names, but the eternity of it, the end of it, is a lake of fire, a place the Bible calls hell.
You know, Usama, sometimes I think of funny examples to explain something, and I just thought of this very silly example, so please forgive me. I've had a long day, but, you know, it's like the story of the three little pigs, okay? We're going to talk about the story of the three little pigs. Like, they're the Christians, or they're just people that don't know the Lord. But there is one pig that builds a brick house, one builds a straw house, the other one builds a house out of sticks. And what happened? Yeah. The straw house, the wolf, we'll call him Satan, comes along and blows the house down, you know?
Sure.
The one with the sticks, same things happen. The only brick house is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You got to get there. If you're going to stand up against Satan, but in that house, you're safe. I love the part that says, and, you know, I take care of a lot of little kids sometimes. The wolf huffed and puffed and tried to blow the house down, but he couldn't. That's what Jesus does. So you're going to see people that are out here wandering around. They're looking for shelter. They're looking for spiritual enlightenment. And maybe they go to a house of straw. And, you know, it might seem good because there's shade and, you know, it seems comfortable, but it isn't going to stand up. And all these other religions and worship of other gods all amounts to one thing. You're going to be trapped by Satan when the wolf comes to blow that house down. You need to get in the brick house.
Amen.
That sounds dumb.
If you're going to make your own God, if you're going to make your own belief, if you're going to search any other way except the straight way, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, all of it is waste of time. All of it will end in destruction, destroyed. And those who follow all these roads, once again, will spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell.
You know, it's sad because we have so many people in America that say that they are Christians. But I want to ask you, as a Christian, if you are saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, have you shared your faith with another person to encourage them to find the same salvation that Jesus has given you? That, I think, is a very big challenge because a lot of people who know Jesus are scared to tell someone else about it. And yet, we have these crazy Antifa, Black Lives Matter. Do you know they worship dead people? And they are not afraid to share what they believe. And I'm just saying, when you have the truth and you have the answers, don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in front of men, I'll be ashamed of you. We don't need to be ashamed of Jesus.
Well, if our experience is a true experience, if we are rooted in Christ, what do you call this? When you have the branches and the trunk of the tree, we are branches. He is the trunk of the tree. If we are rooted deep in Him, and the juice coming from the tree into us. And believe it or not, I will never forget when my daddy did this years and years ago. Maybe I was 8 or 9 years old when he literally putting a grape tree into another tree. So he got a branch of the tree, he cut a hole in the side of the tree, and he put that branch in it. And he
That's grafting. Grafted.
And when I saw my daddy do that, I thought, my daddy's crazy. He's losing his mind. How this thing is going to work? It's not going to work. But my daddy said, wait and see. Well, guess what, Christy? That small plant just started having leaves in it. And believe it or not, it had grapes in it. And my daddy was like I thought of him very highly. I thought, like, my daddy is a magic. He can put a big branch. It was not dead, of course. It was alive in the tree, in the grape vine, and it grew, and now it's part of it. This is what it is. If we're strong in Christ, if we're founded in Christ, you cannot help it but to bring the fruit. It's natural.
That's right.
You don't have. What is a fruit of a believer except new believers? What is our fruit except as we are grafted in Christ? We were without him dead. We were without him with no hope. Without him, we're just foolish. And foolish people get attached to Christ, become wise ones, and the fruit will show up on their branches, and that is exactly what every living Christian ought to. Unless you're a dead Christian, you're attached to the church, but you have nothing to do with the church. You're not being fed by the church, and you're not feeding others, and you're not bringing fruit. What an evil story that you are that close, that you're in touch with the vine, but at the same time, you're not alive. And at the same time, when the day will come, and you'll be taken out, broken, and burned. Because lots of people think, well, since they are in they have some membership of some church, that means they're Christian. No. You're not a Christian unless you are strong, founded, rooted in Christ, and the juice of Christianity is growing in you, and your leaves is green, and your fruit is in season, and everything you do is prosperous. How can all this come? It's exactly when we meditate on God's word day and night, when we become a true living person in Christ, not just having the name or having the title, but no root and no growth and no life in us. So examine your heart, as Christy said, and see, when is this the last time you share the good news, the most wonderful thing ever happened to your life, your experience of knowing Christ, your experience of loving Christ, your experience of serving Christ to lead lost people to Christ. That is the sign for being alive. From the fruit, I know the tree. What kind of fruit you have in your life, therefore I can tell you what kind of tree you are.
You know, Usama, that is really so basic to the Christian walk. We don't live for ourselves. We're supposed to be living that Jesus can be bringing in a harvest. He died to bring that harvest. He shed his blood to bring that harvest. And we are supposed to be working in the field. But you know what the Bible says? The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord send laborers into the field. So we pray that, you know, don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Amen. Look at the bravery, the foolish bravery of these evil people. Surely, when we trust in Jesus, we can be far more bold. We can have more courage, and we definitely have a greater reward. Those individuals, they need Jesus as well. I don't see any of them ever knew Jesus Christ, sadly, or they wouldn't have been trapped by this evil that they're trapped in now.
Yeah.
We pray they get set free and get saved.
Yeah.
It's
As you saw, Chrissy, you remind me of a picture I saw years ago of a field, and the field was white to be harvested. And if you look close to the picture, you see a barn, and in the barn there's equipment, the tractors and the stuff which the farmer needs to go and to harvest that field. But also in the same picture is dark clouds coming up, and the lightning up in the clouds, And what a great artist who draws this picture and it has the verse that the fields are white for harvest, you know, is to be ripe and ready to be harvested. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers. And this is exactly what's happening in the world today, even with this coronavirus. People know that the disease could bring death, and death can, through death we face as a reality that we're going to live forever in some place. But instead of the church, go out and share the gospel and lead lost people in the world to Christ through the crisis of the coronavirus, no, the church closed the door. Why? Because the church obeyed man more than the church must obey God. And they told James and Peter, don't preach in that name anymore. And Peter did not say, well, I'm sorry, I will not do it again. This is the last time. No. They said, Peter and John said, we must obey God more than men. Can you imagine with me, Christy, if every church in America said to Biden and said to the those who were liberal governors we have for the last year, I'm sorry, our church service will be open, and we're not going to close the doors, and we're going to continue to serve the Lord, and we're going to do, as I said, and I remember talking about that a year ago, we will have not just one service, we're going to have 10 services a day. As a matter of fact, we're going to have 10 on Saturday and 10 on Sunday, so we can reach out to lost people, those who needed to know Christ at such time as this. And we're going to keep our church cleaner than Walmart. If you have Walmart open, we're going to have our church open, and we're going to have plenty of services, and we're going to continue to worship and serve the Lord. Had the church have done that, we would have had a great revival in America, and Trump would have won again with shocking number, more than the Biden can ever cheat or lie to steal the election. But sadly, they played the game, they tricked us, they deceived us, and it worked. They controlled the church, they controlled the election, and they cheated. And here we are in America, losing this great country with the great freedom we have in it. But I hope and I pray that the church will realize what happened in 2020, that this will not repeat itself in 2022. Because trust me, between here and 2022, there'll be coronavirus 24, 25, whatever number they're going to put it.
Yeah.
COVID-19, it's going to be a new number, okay? And it's up to us what to do. Are we going to fall into the same trick again? Because first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. And we'll hope and we'll pray that what happened in 2022 will not repeat itself again. Never again in America.
You know, Usama, and I hope that people will go and support the people that are exposing this fraud. Do you know that there is a place you can go, Voices and Votes, to help support and pay for the forensic audit that is going on in Arizona right now in Maricopa County?
Sure.
They are trying to get that taken care of and completed by May the 14th, then they'll have some time after that. That's when they have to go through the ballots. And they've got 2.1 million to go through. So, you know, there's ways to support these things. And I realize not everybody feels good about doing that. But if you want to see the fraud exposed, we've got to do these things. Because regardless of what the outcome is, there isn't going to be a fair election again in America. Like I'll mention again, absolute influence. Mike Lindell has put so much money and done so much work to expose these things. The CNN special Kill Chain from HBO in 2017, the Democrats made a film talking about how the election could be hacked. And now in 2020, they're denying that there could have been anything wrong with the election. Like I said, if you are willing to lie and give false testimony, then, you know, where do we go from here? It's like we have to expose this theft. And so if you can go on and buy a gift for somebody with my pillow or go and buy the products. I have a few of their products. I've given them as gifts. They're awesome. And Mike Lindell's book, his life story, What Are the Odds? It is awesome, too. So I hope y'all will support Mike Lindell, frankspeech.com, and the network, OAN, and Real America's Voice. There's a lot of excellent programming, and a lot of the people involved are believers. Now, Usama, we have a caller. I'm going to bring this caller in.
By the way, Christy, I'm in a mountain area right now, so if I lose you, just watch for me. I'll call you back. So go ahead and get the caller.
I understand. I'm going to get him the last three numbers of your phone, 968. And you are on the air. Caller, can I ask your name?
Craig?
Okay, Craig.
Yes.
You're on the air with us. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, so I see on the thing it says about Matthew 24. You mentioned Matthew 24.
Yes.
Okay. I know a lot of people tend to read Matthew 24. They read themselves into the story. But if you were to listen, that Matthew 24 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70.
Do you not feel like Jesus applied that beyond that experience?
In the fact that he set up, that he set the kingdom up, the kingdom came down and God set it up. They used to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, because they were waiting for the kingdom, the new Jerusalem, to come down out of heaven. And it did in the first century when there was time, because if we profess
God's kingdom right now?
Yeah, of course. It's on the inside. It's a visible witness of the invisible
kingdom of God inside. So the kingdom of God started on the day of the resurrection after the death and the burial for 3 days, and it will continue because we are in the last generation. This is the last generation where...
That was the generation that he was in. He was talking to an audience.
Well, how can
Christ
this,
was talking
some
to a specific audience.
Life when we will see Christ coming back.
In the first century.
What is time with God?
I'm just saying that was in the first century. I mean, the Spirit will teach that, but man
I'm asking a question.
Doesn't teach that.
What is time with God? Can you tell me about the doctrine of time with God? Does God have past and present
and future? When there was time, we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And that's talking about the old covenant. Genesis 1:1 is the old covenant.
Craig, can I ask you a question? Are you focused in on we don't need to worry about take heed, no man deceives you?
You don't think there's
deception now?
I think that when God asked Cain where his brother was, I think Cain lied to God and had an attitude, you know, with God.
So he was sinful. I don't understand why you don't believe there's any deception today.
Well, the only deception there is when someone takes the Word of God out of context and tries to make people think that this is what God is saying to them.
We are calling us deceiver by understanding that Matthew 24 is talking about what is coming yet, which we have not seen. Let me explain something to you, Brother Craig. Prophecy in the Bible has many, many ways of being fulfilled. Some prophecies has been fulfilled in the past more than once. Let me give you a good example. But there's a full fulfillment of the prophecy. When the Bible talks about the Nile of Egypt will dry out, that's a prophecy. Do you know that the Nile in Egypt already dried out twice? But if you read careful, that the Bible talk about that prophecy, that's in Isaiah, of course, prophecy concerning Egypt. We talk about that no more fishing, no more fishing. How can you do that when the Bible says that the Nile will dry out and no more fishing, and it dries white, and we still have fish in the Nile in Egypt? But you know what? The full fulfillment of that prophecy is when the Nile will dry for the third time. You know why? Because now we have the high dam is built down in Aswan, in the southern border of Egypt. And if the
Nile has nothing to do with today, Let me finish my thought.
If the Nile dry out again, that will be the full fulfillment of that prophecy. Let me give you another prophecy. Bible talk about a virgin will have a baby. Okay, that was a sign given. And guess what? That prophecy was fulfilled, not once, but twice. One in the time of the prophet, the other time in the true fulfillment, the full fulfillment, that is when Christ was born from Virgin Mary. Will you deny that? So when Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24, he's not talking about the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 71 A.D. He's talking about the end of time. That is what is yet to come.
Listen.
That is the
in Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, it talks about a prophecy, not prophecies. It's singular, and it's talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You really got to study a little bit more to be talking
about.
Well,
we've studied, Craig, but I know that you would like to have a long conversation about this. But We're talking about revealing the truth about Islam and the deception of the end times. Do you think Islam is a deceptive religion?
Well, you know, I know some people that are into that Islam, but I still am able to have a relationship with them in spite of their religious background because of the fact that Christ is in me. And Christ made everything holy unto himself. Now, you probably don't understand what that means.
I think we do. Is Islam a deceptive religion? You haven't answered that.
Well, you know, our Constitution doesn't have God in it either because it's freedom from religion. And so
okay.
The people were smart enough
with
not to
respect,
put God into
respect.
It. So there was the freedom there.
Here is some truth. I want to teach you something about Islam. In Islam, there is no freedom of religion. You cannot use Islam as a religion when it is a savage cult teaches people to kill others if they do not accept Islam and to kill the Muslims if they leave Islam. Freedom of religion has nothing to do with the garbage of Islam. And the deception
right.
of Islam is there from 641.
God's not worried about all
that.
You are, but God's not.
Okay. Craig, I don't think
that.
God's worried
well,
about
God
anything.
God told me in Matthew 24 to be...
I didn't say God was worried about anything. I said God's not worried. This guy's having an attack right now. I'm surprised he can still breathe.
Craig, I know that you're being really... you know what? We're talking to you. But Craig, you are inserting an information here based on your opinion, and that's fine.
No,
you right to have an opinion.
It's the truth.
But you don't know a thing about Islam. It's obvious. And it's great that you talk to Muslims. Have you led any of them to Jesus Christ?
Look. What
have
God
you led any
life,
of them to Christ?
What God does through my life is has relationships with people outside of myself. But
do
you're
you
not
ever
in
lead
the
them
to
Jesus Christ? Did you lead them to salvation
in
Jesus Christ by His blood?
If that's
are
what
you
you're,
saved?
If that's what you think you're doing, you're not doing anything. You're just talking.
Do you have any example of leading a Muslim to Christ?
Christy. Let me ask Greg a better question than that. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
I asked that.
Well,
too.
If you had the indwelling spirit,
Greg,
then
you are
be able
here
to listen
about
to the spirit, appraise the
and
Lord
you have the
spoken,
understanding
spiritually
the
speaking.
And we are deceivers because we. Greg, my friend, listen up. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior?
Christ is what?
As
Lord
and Savior.
Are you a Christian?
No, I'm not a Christian.
So why you are teaching us about Matthew 24 and you give us your great insight and great interpretation to Matthew 24?
Hey, you can reject the truth all you want. It doesn't mean that I have to just because you do it.
God bless you, brother.
Okay, you don't need
to
listen,
to
but thank you for calling, Craig. God bless you.
Christy, it's time for God Brother Craig to go.
No,
okay,
he's
good.
Off.
So
he,
here's the truth.
Off.
Here's the truth. A man who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who does not think there's any deception in Islam, who thinks that, I mean, that is the work of the devil. That is the deception itself. And Matthew 24, according to his opinion, has already been fulfilled in 71 AD. And Jesus is not talking about the end of time. What a great scholar, Christian theologian here we got and we lost. Sadly, he hung up. So, bottom line, deception is in Islam and deception is in Craig, who come here to speak to us about whatever he have in his head.
But it's a perfect example of what we're talking about. So you asked, I asked a person, are you saved? Are you saved? I asked him, and you did
he's
too.
Not a Christian.
Are you? No, that's what I'm saying. But he won't tell you, no, he's saved. You asked him, was he saved? Was he a Christian? I asked him if he led anybody to Jesus. So he's sitting here telling you, basically, he is a lost man. But this is what we're up against, friends. This is the problem. People who believe that they're fine and they know the Lord and they know about the Bible and everything, they know about Islam, and they have no clue. It's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah.
I've got somebody else on the line, so let's see if this is a bombardment or if we have someone else coming on to make a comment, and we certainly hope that they will be able to give some insight here. Last three numbers of your phone are 450. Can I ask your name, please?
Christy Usama. This is Ted.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello, brother.
Hi.
This
you
is
did a great
Ted,
job
right?
Last night. Yeah.
Hi, Ted.
What's going on, Ted, man?
Well, I just have to correct one thing that the caller just. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I did hear part of it. The caller said that God is not mentioned in the Constitution, and that is a lie.
Yes, you're right.
The very last paragraph of the Constitution states, done in convention by the unanimous consent of the states present, the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1787. And of the independence of the United States of America. And the only time that is the Lord Jesus Christ specifically.
Amen.
Who is
Amen.
Our Lord. He was the divider of time.
The year of our Lord.
This event happened 1,787 years after he had come. Now, they were off a few years because of, I don't know, the Gregorian calendar. Or I don't know how that all worked out. So
Ted.
The Lord Jesus Christ is in our Constitution. I just got to tell the caller that. I hope he's aware of that. I couldn't hear everything, but and caller, I hope you come to Christ because there is no other way except the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there are many infallible proofs that he was risen from the dead and that he is the only hope for the entire world. No Muslims. No good person, no other kind of person is going to make it without the saving blood of Christ. Go ahead with your comment.
Man, thank you, Ted. I'm so glad you called.
By the way,
and
I did not hear him when he said God is not mentioned in the Constitution.
Yeah, I know. You.
He did mention that. He did mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did say that. And, Ted, thank you. That was a very good reminder. And ultimately, for someone to it's kind of like you go, how much do these people study so they can make their comments? They only make a study in order to contradict the truth. Have you noticed this? It's like, you need to study more. You know they studied, but they studied to be creating controversy and to deny the truth. It's weird. But Muslims do that too. They study the Bible.
That is the beauty of the deception, Christian.
Yeah.
That is the beauty of the deception. He is here for one purpose, to deceive people and come up with whatever interpretation you want to make up. I'm amazed, the hundreds of Christian ministers who picked up Matthew 24 to talk about what is yet to come. I mean, literally, the level of deception of Islam is beyond our imagination. And obviously, Islam did not come to exist until 641 AD. I didn't have a chance to talk, to share this with him, but here we are. And obviously, 71 AD came lots earlier than 641, with the best deception of all in Allah and Muhammad. So anyway, Tess, it's good to hear your voice, man. I'm glad that you are having extra ears to listen to these callers once in a while. We get some of them to do nothing but bring deception. I appreciate you, brother.
Well, I just needed to point out that when we talk about God in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, we're specifically referencing the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not referencing any reference to Allah or some pagan god or some Indian thing or some shaman or some voodoo guy in the back desert.
Praise God.
Africa,
no,
or something.
No BLM stuff, huh? Yeah.
No, and BLM, now the people. You got me on a roll here. The BLM, Antifa, all these people are full of evil.
Yeah,
and, you know, when they went against Fentanyl Floyd, the biggest person who got himself killed was George Floyd. He's the one most responsible. And all these people went out before there was any kind of playing out of justice. Whether the verdict was right or wrong, I think the verdict was wrong. But that's a different issue. But for all these people to walk onto the streets and make this kind of protest is an evil thing. They're involving themselves in something they know nothing about. And then for the ones who went out and actually destroyed property, those are people who love violence. And the people who crossed over the line of what is right in the law of God, they've crossed over into harm of another person. And God says he hates those people. And they make themselves the enemies of Almighty God. They're facing an eternity in hell. And there's only one hope for these people, and that's coming back to Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Repentance.
Exactly.
The Apostle Paul said he weeps for these people. They make themselves the enemies of God. And you have no hope. You will face God firm on Judgment Day. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You know, these murderers, no murderer has eternal life. But don't think for a second anyway. And, you know, the powers that be are there for punishing evil. And that's why we have police to punish the evil on the land here, and the military for punishing any evil that would come against us from another nation.
We need to be thankful for our law enforcement people, because as you can hear in some of the news reporting, especially on stations like OAN and Real America's Voice, the minority communities are being devastated because of the police being defunded and so many of them being forced out because of the way they're being treated by their own departments and cities. And yet it is the minority communities who are saying, we need police here. We need protection. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredibly wicked that we've got people who are in public office being paid by public tax dollars who are removing police and challenging the police and calling them evil and wanting to, I mean, it shows you the level of evil that has come up into high places. You know, I love that scripture that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, there's a lot of ways that might be interpreted, but I think about it being leadership that is wicked spiritually, and that's what we're seeing, this result of wicked, evil people in power who are bringing about this chaos with law enforcement. It's sad.
Very sad. And they don't know it, but these people who are quote-unquote Black Lives Matter, they're making it terrible for black people, because what cops
are
going there and have their have their lives snuffed out needlessly, or their jobs taken from them because they did something or other. And
this police officer who saved the life of this girl that was being stabbed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that girl in Ohio.
And
yeah,
it's like
black on black.
But
and he had to kill her
to
save the girl's life.
How about this? Remember this way. For black people who are in the party of Black Lives Matter, for somebody to stab another person in his heart with a knife and kill her or kill him, that's a normal thing. There's nothing wrong with that. The wrong is for a cop to get involved in that. So if these people will not get some blood in their faces and some senses in their head because they're super stupid, and they will not go protest every shooting in Chicago, Illinois, I don't want to hear them, period, talking about black life. Because black life is not worth a dime or a nickel to me when they are killing each other all day long and nobody is complaining about it, nobody is upset about it. But they're upset about one cop. So 17 black people were killed in America last year. 103 cops were killed. Who care about the 17 criminals? Most of them are criminals. Like this guy, they want to make law by his name. He's a drug user, sick, garbage, sinful, wicked, evil man who maybe deserved to die a long time ago. But God did not give him the privilege to end his life in this world, to meet his eternity, until that day when he was shot, when he died under the cop knee or whatever happened to that sinful, wicked, criminal guy. No, we make them all holy. We make them all righteous. We make them all angels. Why? Because they were killed by a cop. You know what? That is stupid. Black lives have no matter, have no value, as long as black kill black. When black stop killing black, when these people go and protest the killing of black to black, then I will say, yes, indeed, Black Lives Matter. And I will go and I will join them. But they're not about black life. They're about hatred to the white cop. They're about hatred to the policeman, period. Even if the black policeman shot a criminal,
they
will make the criminal holy, and they will blame the black cop for being an evil Uncle Tom, whatever name you give them. Anyway, so done with this, because I need to get out of my chest, because in reality, I'm sorry, the plenty of black are taken today out of Africa as slaves to the Muslim world, and nobody complain about it here. There are plenty of black women are raped all over Africa by Muslims, and nobody care about it here. Plenty of black people are killed in America, and nobody care about it. It's only the 17 were shot and killed by cops. This is sick. This is garbage. This is stupid. This needs to be stopped. And believe me, if we don't stop it now, it will never be returned from it. Then the American people will wish they will collect literally all these groups, all these garbage, and throw them in prison, throw them in prison because they're destroying America. They don't care about black life, period. They're garbage. They're garbage.
You're right, Ted.
Believe it or not, Christy, I am here at the parking lot of Hampton where I will be spending the night. And with me, my special friend, Kent Larson, who is here in the parking lot with his accordion, because we're going to end this program with some good music. Forget about this, what we talked about. Brother Ted, I love you, man. Appreciate you. You keep your eyes on the chat room in case some people come and put some junk in. And if you ever see anything is not properly put there, you need to come to the mic and expose them openly loud so everybody can hear it. And at the same time, I'm glad you are with us tonight to capture
some
of the life of this receiver. Appreciate it, Brother Ted.
Hey.
But for now, we're going to have...
Thanks, Ted. We're going to have music, and you know what? We need to have some joyful music.
We need a break. A good break.
Amen.
Fun.
First of all, like
God bless you guys. Talk to you later.
God bless you, Ted.
Okay,
thank
God bless
you,
Brother Ted. Enjoy the music, Brother Ted. Let me ask Kent how does he feel about listening to me for the first time in the car doing a broadcast?
It was quite an interesting experience. I thought we were going to be lost there. You know, you were talking so passionately about the
No. We did not get lost. We arrived here on time. But here's the deal. I have done some radio programs in one state, and I ended in another state. That's heaven. Is that right, Christy?
That's right.
So, Christy said, where are you at? I said, I am in Houston. Said, where at? Now I am in Louisiana. But anyway. Well,
no, usually I go, where? And you go, I don't know. Let me stop and ask somebody.
Highway 75, I guess. Anyway, well, we're glad to have Brother Kent with us. And boy, oh boy, it was quite a good 5.5-hour drive or 6-hour drive. And I'm glad that he have his accordion on. So please listen to some of his music and enjoy the next few minutes here. What is the first song you're going to be playing for us tonight?
I'm going to play Mansion Over the Hilltop.
Mansion Over the Hilltop.
John 14. He's prepared a place for us. And where he is, we will be with him also.
Are you sure Jesus is talking about something happened for us today or just for those who died before 71 A.D.?
That includes us after 71
A.D. Okay, good. So we got that true interpretation here from Brother Kent Larson. So listen to the first song. Here it is.
Good.
That is the man. You know, Christy, my favorite instrument for music is accordion. It is the one I love to play. And Vicky, she knows how much I love it, so she went and bought me an old one, and some of the keys do not work in it. And Brother Kent took it with him all the way to Minnesota to fix it, and it's not fixed because it's something old junk. I maybe need to buy another one. But we're going to listen to another song, and
I want to just say, for some people, you know, we think about the trouble we have, but it's really important to remember, where will you be in 200 years? You're not going to be here, and hopefully you'll be in that mansion. And that
Amen.
Is the hope that we have, is a home for eternity with Jesus Christ. So whatever time
Amen.
We spend here,
Absolutely.
We'll be okay.
I'm
Go
glad
ahead.
That Kent picked up this first song. What is the next song, Kento?
I'll Fly Away. Kind of same kind of theme.
Amen. I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory, with Kent Larson. Here we go. Thank you. Of Hampton in the city called
Somerset.
So I will be speaking tomorrow in Somerset. If you're interested to come and hear me speaking at that church, I'm going to give you the address in a minute here. You just give me a call, 941-223-3698. I will be speaking in Sunday school hour and in the Sunday school service. So we're going to have a good couple hours teaching about revealing the truth about Islam.
Usama,
okay.
Wait. Give your phone number again, because I think it kind of bleeped out. I'm not sure people heard it.
Sorry.
Say it again.
It is 941-223-3698. One more time, 941-223-3698. And if you will be ready after the next song, I will be giving you the address of the church which I'll be speaking in tomorrow at 9:15. So, next song, Kento.
The next song is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Amen. What a friend
yes,
we have in
great.
Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, with Kent Larson. Go for it, Kento. We have in Jesus. Amen. The caller who called us a little bit ago, he said he had some Muslim friends, and obviously he will not let me talk to expose that lie that we do not have friends called Muslims. Why? Because if they are Muslims, they are submitters to Allah. If they are submitters to Allah, then they have no option but to take us as enemies, simply because Allah in Quran 551 ordered, commanded the Muslim believers not to take a Jew nor a Christian for a friend. And the reality is we do have a friend in Jesus, and that friend is closer than a brother. That friend is the one who died on the cross to pay for our sin, to set us free, to lead us to the Father, to lead us in heaven. And without that friend, Jesus Christ, we will be the most miserable people to spend eternity in hell. Tomorrow I'll be speaking in a church. It's called Potter's Place Church. Potter's Place Church, that is 5370 Highway 914 in Somerset, Kentucky. Once again, the address is 5370 Highway 914, Somerset, Kentucky, Potter's Place Church. And Kento, we have lots of time for one more song. More than one more song, but one more song for now. What do you want to talk about? Yes, sir.
When we all get to heaven.
You're in the right theme.
The theme on
hand. All right. We are in the right theme. The mention is in heaven. And what a friend we have in Jesus. What is the other song you already sing?
I'll fly away.
And now we're going to sing.
When we all get to heaven.
When we all get to heaven. And that is for all the believers.
All
the
believers.
Oh, amen, amen.
All born again.
All born again Christians. Go ahead, brother. I said, I know the end of the story. We will be victorious because when we will see Jesus, we will shout
and sing victory.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
I don't know,
you know,
maybe some of the people in the chat room, they request a song. We'll put Kent on the spot and see if he can answer the request and sing one of the old songs. Maybe, Christy, you have a song, a favorite song, you'd like Kento to play it for you. What is going on in your mind right now?
Oh, well, what goes on in my mind is what he's playing and a lot of memories of being in church with my kids when they were little. And we loved to sing that song. We sang it at church. We sang it in the car. I don't have one to request at the moment. Let's see if our friends in the chat room have one. All is well. That is from Ted, and
all is well.
And Ramis is cooking right now. Anyway, all is well.
All is well. All is well.
What
We're
is that?
Get the note just for you because
no,
it's in the
all,
car. No,
all is well.
All is well.
All is well. Yeah.
All right. Well, Brother Kent went to the car. Believe it or not. To search for that song because he cannot play it from his head, but he have it on one of his papers,
okay,
and the moment we'll get it, we will sing it just for Brother Paul.
No, this is for Brother
Ted. Oh, Brother Ted. I thought Paul is the one who's asking for that song.
No.
All is well.
You know, I know you don't usually understand my English.
You need some help.
I said not Paul. All is well. Anyway, Usama, I was going to say one of the things that we have, you know, in Black Lives Matter, they actually worship the people who died. They call their I'm trying to share the contrast here. They talk about these people like they're spirits are actually there with them and inspiring them as they do this violence. And they're deceived about that because that isn't what happens when you die. But you know what? When you know Jesus Christ, your spirit is going to go away. It isn't going to stay anywhere hanging around. You're not going to be able to talk to people that die.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to go to the judgment. And so whoever they are calling down or whatever spirit they think that they're worshiping. It is an evil spirit, a demonic spirit, a deceptive spirit. But for those, and I have many now, you saw me, it just seems like so many people that I know who have passed away, and all of a sudden we have that knowledge that one day we're going to be reunited with those we love. That
Amen.
Those
Amen.
Who are in heaven are still alive. They're with Jesus now, and we'll be there with them sometime too. Okay,
the Bible,
if you have the time. God is good all the time for me. Go ahead. The Bible?
The Bible talks about that the God we serve is the God of the living. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are not dead.
Yes.
They're alive. And obviously, if they're alive and we keep adding to them those who believe and trust in Jesus, well, guess what? We will all meet one day in heaven, and we will sing and shout that victory. That is the song which is Brother Kent just played for us. So we're trying to get to the right song, which is you requested, Christy, and here it is coming up, and I will hold the paper for Brother Kinko, and he will play it for you. It is well with my soul.
No, I don't think that's the one, but we'll listen to that one.
It is the closest.
They're giving me different titles. Ted said all will be
that's
well.
Okay. You have to listen to it.
It's
You're
okay. Let's
street.
Listen
not,
to this one because this is a good one.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's well with my soul. I love that too. Mm-hmm.
It is well with my soul. If you guys know the story behind the song, you will really appreciate this song. Last time I heard it in a church, it was the wife of a friend of mine who actually died in Honduras. He drowned. And they played the song, and the song had something to do with a family who were lost or drowned in a ship which was coming, I believe, from England to America. And somehow it's a powerful story. And the song was written, It is well with my soul, no matter what happened. No matter what crisis we're going through right now in America or around the world, no matter how persecuted the church will be, no matter how hard it is we're going through in these last days, and the worst is yet to come, as it is written in Matthew 24. It is going to be real hard, and we must be prepared for it to sing even that song, It is well with my soul, because guess what? If God allowed it to be, then let it be. They told the Apostle Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be tied from your hand. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be put in prison. He said, I'm willing to die. I will do. And that's when the church said, let us accept whatever the will of the Lord, because that's it. Whatever the will of the Lord will happen. And if it is well with our soul, notice he did not say all is well with my body, because you know what? Losing a friend, losing a family member, or going through hardship, going through persecution is not well. But with our soul, because our soul is prepared. Our soul is cleaned up. with crisis, with hardship, with persecution. That's why, as I said earlier, the church in the Muslim world, the church in China is much stronger because the soul is pure before God. Less of the things of the world attached to our soul, but the more easy it is, the more it is, yeah, we can go on with life. So what time we have now, Christy? Can you give me an idea how many minutes we still have for the show? Hello, Christy, 11:45. Are you there, Christy? Somehow I think we lost Christy, or I'm still in good place here, so I know we're in good place.
Usama.
Good reception.
Usama, I'm here. I'm sorry. I had a little problem.
That's okay.
But we have
That's
a request.
Okay.
I got a request from our friend Ron, and I have a request from Imramis. So can I give you, we got two. The one that I is amazing love, amazing love, if he knows that one, and one that is God is good all of the time for me.
All right, amazing love, how great, amazing love. I know the song. Amazing love,
right.
How can that be that you
right,
would die for
it.
Me?
Yes,
amazing
Ron.
Love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? I think we'll get it for you. And we still have a lot of time. I thought it's run out of time. It's 46 after the hour. So amazing love, how can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Amazing, amazing grace. No, not amazing grace, but amazing love. Okay. We'll find it here for you. Remember, guys, we are in this so-called,
we don't always get this opportunity, everybody. I'm saying we don't always get this opportunity to do this with Kent, so we want to do it even though they're in the parking lot.
I'm just saying that.
Yes.
If you look at us here and all the people around are looking at us like we're weird, what are we doing playing accordion in the middle of the parking lot? Sorry, guys, we're just having a great time here with Sister Christy. But I think we're looking for the song. We're in the right part, which is A, for amazing love. How can that be? You know, when I play music, I play by hearing. Now, Brother Kent is a professional. He played with notes. And if you don't have the note, you do not know how to sing it. But somehow, Lord is willing, we're getting closer. We are on the next page. Nope. You know what's amazing? All these songs have the word amazing. I mean, literally.
Because God is amazing. That's a good a good description
That's
of it. The Lord. He is amazing.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
We're looking for it. Lord is willing, we'll get to see. If we are sitting in my office or on a table, it will be easy to look. But right now, like, the paper is all over the floor. But we'll try to
get
it.
Yes, as I said, you're in the middle of traveling from state to state, so it's a little bit different.
Amen.
But I'm glad we can take advantage of this to have some uplifting thoughts and music, because it is a hard time. And there's lots facing us, but God will give
music
us courage.
Music is the
medicine amazing
for
love. Yeah, but God has amazing love, and that's what it's all about, actually. So I know the title itself is uplifting to say, we have a God who loves us with an amazing love.
Well, are you putting in the right order? In here somewhere. It's somewhere here. Somewhere. And you don't think you can play from your head, brother.
Ted said, I used to play by ear, but it kept hurting every time they hit the piano keys.
King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It is my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you, Jesus, you are my king. You cannot play with me, Hedrick, yeah?
Okay.
Right. So, no, you have to wait.
Okay, do we have another one that you guys want to play? Because we're just going to have a few more minutes, maybe a couple more songs. And you know what? Our friends understand if you can't find that song right now because you've been driving for hours and hours. And we just love having a chance to hear Can't Play.
All right.
Because
here's a song. Here's a song.
There we go.
Sure that I want to know. Yep, that's it. We'll just play this one for you. Hopefully it is the right one. If not, just take it and praise God. Anyway, go ahead.
All right.
Song, and I could not believe it. We found it in the middle of 3,048 pages. Anyway, what is the next song, Christy?
I want to tell you a joke. I don't know what the next song is. The next song is, oh, wait, I'm sorry. God is good all the time for me. Do you have that one?
God is and good Ted, all the time is God is good. He said, we have like 362 songs here by the time for God is good.
Okay, so
I mean,
that
literally.
Is not okay. Find
okay,
another song you guys want to share.
Here. I'm going to look. And then we'll put it this way. I'm going to open the book in the middle here because we only have 2 minutes left. So we're going to book in the middle here, and that is the song we're going to play right now. If you don't like it, it's too bad.
Good.
Here we go. Okay. Go for it. Here we got a good song for you. You're going to love this one, Christine. You're going to appreciate it. It is, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Oh, I love that song. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah. Thank you. Kent Larson from Kentucky parking lot of Hampton Inn, where we're going to be spending the night tomorrow. Always can in the same church as I mentioned earlier. If you have time or if you're close by, you'd like to come see me in live, in person, tomorrow. Once again, and last time, here's the address for the speaking engagement tomorrow will be in 5370 Highway 914 in Somerset, Kentucky. All right. Thank you, Christy, so much for producing the show for us tonight. Thanks, Brother Kent, for this wonderful music.
You're very welcome.
And look forward to see you guys next Saturday. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Pray for this country that God will bring one of the Democrats to Christ. You can imagine if one of the senators or one of the congressmen and women who are literally liberal, sick, anti-America, anti-God, one of them gets saved next few weeks. Wow. What a great victory we'll have in Jesus. God bless
you. Oh, absolutely.
Good night, everybody. And we'll see you, Lord willing, next Saturday. Bye-bye now.
All right. Thank you, Usama. Thanks, Ted. Thanks to Imramis and to our brother Kent for playing. We don't always get to hear music on this show, but it's nice when everything's so serious and we can have a little rejoicing in the Lord. Thank you all.
He said for a donation of $1,000, he can sing any week.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. God bless you all. Good night. Good night.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.